continue on tonight with the series that we've been going through, Wisecracks. And tonight we're going to kind of talk about, have you ever heard of the saying, or have you ever said, you know, out of sight, out of mind, like when it's not right in front of me, I just don't think about it. And tonight we're going to kind of talk about a little bit about that and what it looks like as a people that so many times if something's not right in front of us, we forget about it, and what it looks like to not do that. And so we've been talking about how do we make wise choices, and we've been looking at the scripture in Ephesians that talks about how we can put on different pieces of armor of God on, and with that, we can make wise decisions. And so Ephesians 6 says, we've been walking through, so stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, in which we talked about honesty, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, which we talked about, you know, making pure decisions, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, about spreading just salvation to all. And in addition to this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish to all flaming arrows and the evil one. And tonight we're going to talk about to take this helmet of salvation, and we're gonna focus tonight on the helmet of salvation. So I brought my favorite helmet and stuff, which literally it saved my life like multiple times. Some of you have, some of the high school students in here saw me at one retreat. I did not have a helmet on. I leaped off a chair, and the chair came from out from underneath me, and we were at Southwind, which is the middle school venue that we go to, and I nailed my head on the back, like on the tile, and then I wore this the whole rest of the weekend, therefore I wouldn't get a concussion. And helmets, you know, we wear a helmet for a lot of kind of like more extreme things we do because it protects your head. You know, hey, there you go, find your shoe. Awesome. But we wear a helmet because, you know, when we hit the ground, or like, I don't know if any of y'all ever like gone snowboarding or skateboarding, or, you know, like, what else would you wear? Like football, you wear a helmet. Baseball, you have a helmet on. You wear a helmet because it protects your head. That way, you don't get either busted on the ground or fly off your bike and nail on pavement and then have your head like, have like your brains like oozing out and stuff, because that would be bad, right? We all agree that brains oozing out of your head is not a good thing. The same thing. We've got the helmet of salvation, and salvation is kind of like the same thing of what a helmet does, but in a different way. Salvation is God's form of a helmet that saves us from eternal death, from eternal separation from God. And salvation brings us closer, is what saves us, that brings us to a relationship with the Lord for eternity. And see, God knows that we are a group of people who so many times we are a group of people that are an out of sight, out of mind, that many times we'll end up living life right, we'll end up doing things good, but then we kind of fall out of habit. In Ephesians, it talks about how we are usually captivated by our own evil desires, and we fall back into old habits. And, you know, this has been going on for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And we're going to look at a group of people who literally thousands and thousands of years ago were kind of dealing with this same issue of, like, they're trying to do what's right, they're trying to follow God, but they keep falling into bad patterns, they keep making bad decisions. And essentially what's kind of going on before I read some stuff, essentially what's happening is that you've got a group of people who are called the Israelites, and they are living in this land, they're hanging out, but they're slaves to a group of people, and these Israelites are in slavery and are being oppressed, and just they're just crying out to God, like, God, like, save us. You've said that we are your chosen people. Come on, help us out, save us. And God listens. And he sends this average guy that's got kind of like a stuttering problem, not really a fluent, great speech maker, and was just like, hey, I'm going to use you to help bring the Israelites out of Egypt. And so he calls on this guy named Moses, who maybe some of you guys are familiar with, and he goes, hey, I'm going to have you help me bring the Israelites out of slavery, and we're going to bring them to a new land, a new place where they could be free. And so the Israelites, like, all this crazy stuff happens. Like, I don't know how many of you guys have seen the movie Prince of Egypt or have seen some stuff where you see, like, all these different plagues that are happening and just, like, crazy, like, stuff is going on. Like, people are, like, covered with frogs and there's, like, these, like, they're called locusts, but they look like crazy grasshoppers that are insane. They're just, like, floating and there's just, like, all this insane stuff going on. And these people are seeing, like, God's power in, like, this crazy way. And eventually, it gets so bad to the point where the king of Egypt's like, okay, Moses, take these Israelites out of here, get them away. And the people are like, yes, praise God for setting us free. And so what's so cool is it says that God forms himself during the day in a pillar of a cloud. And so the Israelites are like walking through the desert, following God in cloud form of where it should go. And then at night, God turns into a pillar of fire. That way they can have light and they know still where to go. And during this time, they're like, praise God. Thank you for helping me. Because God is so visibly there. But then all of a sudden, they're like walking through the desert and they all of a sudden come to the Red Sea and they're stuck. And there's all these Egyptians that are like, no, we want our slaves back. So they're coming and chasing the Israelites and they're like, we're stuck. There's a sea. And so they start complaining to Moses, like, why'd you bring us out here? Were there not enough graves in Egypt to bury us? Did you make us come out to the desert to die? And Moses is like, dude, like, did you not just see the fact that, like, there were frogs everywhere, like, and God released you? Like, did you not just see the mighty power of God? And God tells Moses, you know, stick up your staff. And he lifts up his arm and the sea parts and the Israelites walk through, it says, with walls of, like, water. Like, that alone must have been probably, like, the coolest thing ever to see. Like, you're walking through, like, the Red Sea and you can see, like, fish swimming right beside you, but it's not an aquarium. Like, you're just like, all right, dry land and stuff. And so it says then that the Egyptians, it says, that they see this, and it says that they see that they are brought out of the land of Egypt, and they see the tremendous power that God brought them against the Egyptians, and they were in awe before God and trusted in God and his servant Moses. So right there, they're like, oh, they were in complete awe. I mean, God separated a sea for them to walk through. And now they're like, whoa, like, God's total legit. Like, he's awesome. Like, I'm in awe. Like, they couldn't even finish the word awesome. They're just stuck in awe. Like, they're just like, this is so cool. Like, holy cow, like, this is actually happening. And so they're just like, all right, we trust you, God. But then in the next chapter, it says that on the 15th day of the second month that they've left Egypt, the whole company of Israel starts to complain against Moses in the wilderness and said, have you brought us out here into the wilderness to starve to death? What is going on? Why have you brought us out here to starve to death? And then God says to Moses, I'm going to rain bread down from the skies for you, and the people will be able to go out and gather enough for each day. So the people are not like in the desert. They were just, you know, at one point they're in awe of God. Then they're walking. They're starting to get hungry. And then they start complaining to Moses like, yo, Moses, we're starving. What's going on? And so Moses talks to God and God rains quail, which is like, if like chickens were just flying out of the sky and dropping in front of you. And then he lets the dew in the ground in the morning. Like, have you ever noticed, like, when you walk out of your house that the grass is kind of wet? He lets the dew outside turn into bread, and now they're able to eat. And then they're like, oh, thank you, Lord. You've saved us. This is awesome. And they're like, visibly right there, God's right in front of them, like chickens falling out of the sky for them to eat. And they're grabbing bread off the ground, and they're like, yeah, this is awesome. Once again, they're back in awe with God. And then in the next chapter, it says they're walking and that they're starting to get thirsty. And again, they start to complain to Moses, like, dude, we're thirsty. Like, what's going on? And then God tells Moses to strike a rock. And out of this rock, water starts pouring out. And they praise God and they're in awe of God again. Like, are you noticing a trend? It's like God's so visible and they're like, yes, this is awesome. We love you. And then they keep going through and they forget. And then they start to complain. And then God saves them. And then they praise God. And then they go through and then they forget and they complain. And then God saves them. And this trend happens over and over again. And then we come to a point where God realizes that we are broken people. We are sinners and we are in need of a Savior. And so God sends Jesus here to save us. It says that God so loved the world that he sent his only son to die for us. And that he did not come here to condemn the world, but to save the world. You know, and we see the same cycle again as Jesus has made best friends with a guy named Peter. And Peter is one of Jesus' best friends, is a disciple of Jesus, and has seen all like the miracles Jesus has done, has seen the power in which Jesus has, that he is human but God, that he fed 5,000 people and healed a guy who was paralyzed and couldn't walk and told him, pick up your mat and walk. He's healed all these different people. He's turned all of like... He's done all this amazing stuff, and Peter's been, like, right there, right beside him, and Jesus is telling his best friends, like, hey, I'm about to be arrested, and I'm going to be killed, and Peter's like, what, dude, I will do anything for you, and Jesus is like, yeah, but once I'm away, you're going to 3 times deny me, and then Peter's kind of like, what? And again, you know, Jesus is now away, and Peter's, like, in a crowd of people, and like, hey, I saw you with Jesus. And Peter's like, not me. And then another person's like, no, I saw you with Jesus. He's like, nope, wasn't me. And then again, hey, aren't you the guy? Nope. And then he realizes, oh, Jesus was right. I just denied him 3 times. And it's this pattern that we've gotten in. And in Romans 12:2, it says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed. And to be transformed is an everyday activity. Every single day we have to remember that, you know, in the morning, this is essentially what you need to do. You both, come here. All right, so we've got God, and then us. And every morning, okay, lay down. We get up, and we got to put on the helmet of salvation. That way we remember that our job is to walk, to remember what God has done for us, and the fact that he has saved us from sin, and through his mercy we can live with him. And we need to remember to keep that on every day, because as long as we have the helmet of salvation, see, this doesn't bug you, right? But if you take it off, it's a distraction. You don't have the salvation on, and you end up further and further away from God, because the world will try to separate you from God. But if you wake up in the morning, and every day you think, okay, I'm going to put on the helmet of salvation. And today, I'm starting my day off remembering what life is like with God. The fact that God loves me and came here to save me. And through his mercy, together, I can serve him. But also, together, I'm going to tell others about God's mercy, and I'm going to show others and others. Yep, and others. God's mercy. Because every day when we remember that, yes, I'm a sinful person, but God loves me so much that he sent Jesus down to save me. And because I serve a God that is loving, I first serve God. And because of that, it should overflow out of me to others. That I should love God and to love others and to bring others together to no longer conform to the patterns of the world, but to be transformed. All right, you guys can take a seat. All right, pray with me. God, just, you are a mighty and powerful God, and we are a selfish group of people. And so many times, if you are not right blatantly in front of us, we forget and we get distracted by the things of this world, or we decide that, no, I'll spend time with God later, but I'm going to do other things now. But Lord, I just pray that you can help us remember daily of what you have done for us. That every day we wake up and we can put on the helmet of salvation and walk with you, Lord, but also that we can tell other people about your love and your mercy for us. I'm going to pray for the small group time and just let everybody have an awesome week. It's in your son's name I pray all this. Amen.